All right. Man, I can't believe it's how long has it been? 3, 4 weeks, right? Since spring break. And now you only have 3 or 4 weeks left. So we're going to be finishing up our series, Life Together, and then next Sunday we're starting our very last series for the semester, called Last Words. So hopefully that will encourage all of us. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I know that this is a familiar passage for many of us. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Okay? We're finishing up this series called Life Together. And today we're going to be talking about how we are created for partnership, how we are created for partnership. So just to begin this talk, I want to prime the pump a little bit. So I want us to think about some famous partnerships that we have observed in our culture and in our history. Okay, so we're going to have a quick quiz. So the first partnership that we see is, I was going to call on Andrea, but One Direction, right? One Direction, very famous partnership. The second partnership that we see is Batman and Robin, of course. How can you not talk about Batman and Robin and talk about partnership? The third partnership that we see in our culture is Harold and Kumar. That's right. All right. All right, so it's going to get a little bit harder. Do you guys know who these guys are? The Google people. That's right, the Google founders. Right, Larry and Sergey. The second? Okay, and Steve Jobs, right? The founders of Apple. All right, this might be tricky. So the last one is, do you guys know who they are? Ben and Jerry, that's right. Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield, founder of Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream. Okay? All right, well, I was looking up partnership and the importance as well as how do you make a successful partnership? And I found this article online by the Harvard Business Review, and they give you some key ingredients to think about in a successful partnership. So we're going to talk about that. First thing they say is to know yourselves and to build around your strength. So when you think about partnership, you have to know who you are. You have to know that other person that you're partnering with. You have to know what your strengths are, and you build around that strength, right? The second thing that they talked about is how we need to see compatibility in values. That if you're going to go into a partnership with someone, that you better make sure that you guys have same values, that it's the same things that are driving you, okay? The third thing they talk about is this vow to work together, which seems like it's common sense, but it's not. Oftentimes, partnerships break up because they're not working together, but they actually end up working against one another. So it's this vow, this commitment that you make to work together. And then the fourth thing that they talk about is how you need to spread involvement. And so you need to create more ties for more people. That it can't be just about the two or the three, but it's about the people that you want to get involved in this partnership. So you need to create momentum, that you need more ties. And lastly, they talk about the importance of communication. You know, not just via text, not over email, but the actual meeting with them and face-to-face communication. That's so important. So when you think about it, I mean, these are really important ingredients of creating a successful partnership. I think many of us would not doubt that we were created for partnership. In fact, that's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12. He says that we are parts of the many body, right? All of us represent one body, yet we are many different parts of that body. And he says, an eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And in the same way, a head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. That even though we might have different functions within that body, that we need to recognize that we are one body. So it's not necessarily a question of the partnership that God has called us to enter into, because the Bible makes it very clear that this is exactly what we were created for. But this afternoon, we want to tackle the question is, well, what are the key ingredients for a successful biblical partnership? As if we have read and saw the list of ingredients to a successful business partnership, we want to talk about, well, what are the key ingredients to a successful biblical partnership, okay? All right, so with that in mind, let's go ahead and read these verses together, 42 through 47. This is the word of God. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. So there's three main components that I want to talk about when it comes to biblical partnership. The first component that we see here is that partnership starts with a common vision or a common goal or a common purpose, right? Partnership starts with a common vision. There's a story in late 19th century. There was a Methodist denominational meeting. And in that meeting, one of the leaders stood up and he began to share his vision of how he envisioned someday when evangelists and missionaries and people that are doing ministry would actually be able to travel by flying and not necessarily on horse carriage or on horseback. And that they'll be more effective in going to places that they've never gone to share the gospel. To which one minister, Bishop Wright, stood up and began to yell to say that that is heresy. And he began to say that if God wanted a man to fly, he would have given him wings. So he stormed out of that meeting with his two sons, Orville and Wilbert. And as they say, the rest is history. Because on December 17th of 1903, Orville and Wilbert Wright accomplished what their father once said was impossible. They made four flights that day. And so you think about these brothers coming together. What united them was this common vision of wanting to accomplish something that was impossible. And when I think about the church, that's what we're all about, coming together to accomplish a vision that seems so impossible. Because I think church is a story of the impossibility becoming real. That what seems so impossible becoming a reality. And so what we read in this passage is this community coming together under this common vision. And there's two vision or two goals that they came under. First is that they were becoming a community that was anchored in Christ. It was just not a community, but it was a community that was anchored in Christ. And this is so important for us. That it was a community that engaged in what we would say the great command, which is to love God and to love one another. That's what it means for us to be anchored in Christ. And not only that, but we see a community that was serious about the commission, that was engaged in Jesus' commission to go and to be his witnesses. And these were the two anchors that brought this community together. And when I think about the anchors that needs to bring us together, it's these two things. And we've been talking about this, how we need to come together under one vision. And that vision is to what? To anchor ourselves around who Christ is. And what is he calling us to do? To worship God with all that we have and to love one another. And not only that, but to come so that we will be a witnessing community. And I know I sound like someone who's, you know, beating a dead horse because I'm talking about this week after week. But if I'm talking about this week after week, you must realize that this is so important for us. Because this is the beginning of our understanding of why we come together. You know, think about it. All of us coming together. But what would happen if we all came together with different goals in mind? Just think about your life groups that you're going to be having this Tuesday and Wednesday. And everyone comes together, but they have different objectives in mind. They have different goals in mind. So one person comes together because he or she really loves the refreshments. Maybe you guys have like gourmet cooks, right? And you guys go all out and they're thinking, oh man, refreshments are so good. Or maybe another person comes because he or she likes someone in that life group. And they're thinking, oh man, I'm counting down the days and the hours when I can finally sit next to that person. What if another person comes because they want to hear all the latest juicy gossip of what's going on in the freshman class, the sophomore class, the junior, the upper? On the outside, it might look like that we are coming together to become a community, because no doubt that we'll have fun, no doubt that we'll get along, we can joke with one another and so forth. But at the end of the day, what's the difference between this biblical community that we're trying to establish versus another community that we see somewhere else? I want to show us this video. Okay? It's called The Dancing Bear. I think some of you have seen this video already, but it's a bunch of guys passing around the ball, and the objective is to count how many passes that these guys make. Okay? So let's go ahead and watch this video together. Did anyone see that? What, Moonwalking Bear the first time? Yeah? Okay. Good. Did anyone get the 13 passes? Yeah, some of you? Okay. You know, when you think about it, I think it's hard for us to really become this biblical community, because at the end of the day, so many of us are focusing on so many different things, on the things that are important to us, which is okay. But if that's the only thing that's on our minds, like the refreshments, that girl or that guy that you like, then we're missing out on the bigger picture. And I think sometimes, even though we become a community, we're not becoming a biblical community, because when we come together to worship like this, and when we meet together to study the Bible, and when we come together to have accountability, we're missing out on the bigger picture, which is Jesus that's drawing us together. So that as we interact with one another, that we can challenge one another to love God, and that we can love one another. And not only do we love one another, that ultimately we are becoming this witnessing community. See, all of us, we need to understand not only the how, because I think for majority of us, we understand the hows, right? Especially if you've been coming to our church for a while, you understand the how. You come to church on Sunday, you lift up your hand during times of worship, you take notes, hopefully, take notes during sermon times, right? And you respond, you go to life group, you come to, you know, prayer gatherings, get involved in ministries, you know, so we understand the how. But sometimes we fall short because we don't go beyond just the how. And we don't necessarily understand why we're doing this. Like, why do we come together on Sundays? It's more than just the sake of singing songs that we like. It's more than the sake of feeling good about ourselves. But we need to be thoroughly convinced it's because of the Great Command and because of the Great Commission. So everything that we're doing is fueling our passions. And we talked about this past Friday at Access, how we need to continue to fuel our passions. Fuel our passions for what? To love God and to love one another and to be a witness. So partnership is about the common vision or the common goal. But not only that, but partnership is sustained through friendship. And that's the second ingredient, that partnership is sustained through friendship. So when you think about this partnership, what sustains that partnership? It's intimacy that we have with one another. And when you think about friendship, I mean, that's what it is. It's intimate relationships that we have with one another. And I think one of the powers of the biblical community is that God brings people who are so different from one another. Yet, despite the differences, that we're able to form biblical friendships, that we're able to experience deep intimacy. Because without this friendship, what happens? You know, we work hard towards that goal, but if there's a bump, maybe we're not necessarily seeing things eye to eye. Maybe there's a disagreement. Maybe we get tired of that process. What keeps us together is the friendships that we're able to build and to invest into each other's lives. So think about the description of this new community that is forming, right? They devoted themselves, apostle teaching and all that stuff, signs and wonders. They were together selling everything. Every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread, sincere and glad hearts, praising God. I mean, this is a description of a community that actually seems like they enjoyed each other's company. Not only did they come together because they had to come together, but actually they came together because they wanted to come together, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like a community where they said, all right, let's go to church, and then afterwards they all went their separate ways. But it was a community that is rooted in friendship. And no wonder why the people around them were wanting to join that community, because something about their friendship that it was so different from what they saw in the larger community context. So what is a friend? And I know that we can have a 3-4-part sermon series just on biblical friendship alone. But you think about this notion of friendship. What is a friend? Proverbs 17:17 tells us this. A friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. So think about that. That's what the biblical definition of friendship is. It is someone who loves at all times. What does that mean? Think about love. What is love? Love is this self-sacrificial action. Because if our love for one another is supposed to reflect the love of Christ, what is the love of Christ? It is a self-sacrificial action. So practically speaking, what does this mean? The self-sacrificial action. This means is we simply choose to absorb the needs of the other person. So when you think about what the biblical definition of friendship is, it is someone who is choosing to absorb the need of that other person. That's what biblical friendship is. You know, it's not about common interests. Because the friendship that we see out there, they form together because of common interests. They like to go out and dance, or, you know, they're same major, they like to eat same food, they're from the same region. It's not about common interests. It's not about how well you get along with that person. It's not about whether you have similar humor or not. But it's your willingness to absorb the needs of that other person. That's what differentiates biblical friendship versus the worldly friendship. And that's why it's possible for us in the church to have deep friendships with people who are so different. And when I say different, I don't necessarily mean just different in terms of maybe ethnicity, socioeconomic background, but also different in terms of even the life stages. Someone who's older, maybe someone who's younger. And the key there is at all times. Someone who is willing to absorb the needs of the other person at all times. And so when you think about, okay, why are our relationships superficial? You know, I've been doing this for a while. At the end of every semester, we have life group evaluations. And even when I was in Ann Arbor, we've been doing this for a long time. And one of the evaluations, especially at the end of first semester, that we see is, you know, it's great that I'm getting to know people in my life group, but I feel like the relationships are superficial. That we're not going any deeper than just that surface level. And I'm sure you've experienced this as well. Whether it's in life group or maybe it's in your class. Or maybe it's during our Sunday worship. You come together and it's a great experience, but at the end of the day, when you leave, you feel like, man, my relationship with these people are so superficial. And so you think about, why is it that our relationships are superficial and it doesn't go any deeper? I think one of the reasons, I'm sure there's many different answers to that question, but one of the reasons is because we're not willing to absorb the needs of that other person. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Just think about the people that are sitting next to you. I mean, you can look at them if you want. If it makes you uncomfortable, you don't have to look at them. But think about the people that are sitting next to you and just the different needs that are represented in this room. Think about the people that come to your life group every single Tuesday or Wednesday. Think about the people that are in your class. Are you willing to absorb their needs? Not because they're so like you, but because that's what it means for us to love one another with the love of Christ. And our friendship is centered around the love of Christ. And not because, oh, we're Asians and we have church experience, therefore we're going to come and be friends and we're going to live together and we're going to eat ramen noodles every day and we're going to sing Kumbaya and it's going to be great. Just think about that. If our minds were shifted from this to this, from the secular perspective of what it means to be friends to this biblical perspective, that we are called to absorb one another's needs. But you might be saying, well, Pastor Ben, how is that possible? Because there are so many people, even though, yes, we're a small church, maybe around 50, 40. If everyone comes, maybe like 60. I think we got almost up to like 70 one of the Sundays. But practically speaking, how do I absorb the needs of everyone around me? Is it possible for us? And my answer is yes, it is. So how do we do that? We do that on our knees. We do that by depending on the Holy Spirit. See, what happens in friendship is that we try to go at this on our own strength, that I have to be nice to everyone, I have to investigate their lives, I have to get to know them. But what happens if we do it on our own strength? We get overwhelmed by the needs of everyone. And we get burned out. And in the midst of going through that, the first thought that comes into our minds is, what about my own needs? But when you think about the Great Command, what Jesus tells us to do is to love God. And then he says what? Love yourself and then love your neighbors? No, love God and love your neighbors. Because what will happen is if everyone is focused on loving God and loving your neighbor, I guarantee you that you will not be thinking about, well, what about my own needs? Because the people around you are going to be thinking about your needs, are going to be investing into you. And the reason why we struggle with, well, what about my own needs, is because we're trying to do this on our own strength. But that's not how we were created to. That's why Jesus says that you need to be cloaked with power from on high. And so you depend on the Holy Spirit. You ask for his wisdom. You ask for his strength. And so we do see a very descriptive description. I know that's just said those words twice, right? Of what a friend is. Okay, so let's talk about this together. What is a friend? Well, first of all, friend is someone who is willing to help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth. Right? Someone who is willing to encourage you and help you in your spiritual growth. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. It's people coming together to study the Bible. It's to pray together. It's to have accountability. And so if that's not the foundation of your friendship, I would dare to say that it's not, you are not modeling a biblical friendship. That if in that relationship, you don't feel comfortable enough to ask them, what is God doing in your life? Or as you're just hanging out, you can ask that person, hey, you want to study the Bible? Hey, let's pray together. I mean, it's hard for us to do that, right? And the reason why it's hard for us, I was thinking about that. Why is it hard for us to do that? It's because we dichotomize our lives. I mean, think about it. So this is the spiritual part of your friendship. You come to church, you pray together. You come to prayer gatherings, you're expected to pray together, right? You have class prayer gatherings, and so you come and you pray together. You go through like missions training and you pray together. But then all the other times, well, that's my time. And so we dichotomize our relationship. Well, here's the spiritual aspect of our relationship, things that are done in church, and then here's the rest of it, the secular aspect of it. And so whenever someone crosses that boundary, we get offended. We get uncomfortable. We're thinking, wait a minute, this isn't a church prayer gathering. Why are you asking me to pray? I mean, think about, what is your friendship based on? Do you have people who can encourage you to grow, who can challenge you to love God more, who can invest and say, you know what, come on, let's do this together. Let's love God together. Not only are we encouraging one another in our spiritual growth, but we're joining together in doing ministry. We're joining together to doing ministry. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Yes, it was the apostles that were doing the miraculous signs, but it was the people of God coming together to do ministry. So do you have people in your life that you can actually do ministry together with? You know, when I think about just even all my friendships, whether it's through college, grad school, even in Ann Arbor, the friendships that stand out to me the most are those friendships that we were actually able to do ministry together. It's not, you know, we goofed off, we went to parties and all that stuff, but it's actually we were able to do ministry together. Because something about living out the vision in which God has created you, it connects your heart together. So do we have people in our lives that we can partner together so that it's not just about the formal ministry times, but it's about, hey, I'm trying to reach out to this person. Can you help me pray for my friend? Can you help me to love my friend? Not only are they joining together to do ministry, but it's about someone who will help you to carry your burdens. Paul tells us very clearly that we are one body. And if one part of that body suffers, the rest of the body suffers with it. So do we have people who will help us to carry our burdens? Which means for some of us, you need to open up your life. And you need to be vulnerable. And instead of expecting others to come into your life, you need to reach out and say, you know what, I need help. Will you pray for me in this? Do you have people who are able to speak into your life? You know, when I think about friendship, maybe some of that friendship will come because it's a peer-to-peer relationship, but maybe some of that friendship will be a mentoring relationship so that you're reaching out to someone who has gone through certain things and you know that they can speak into your life. Do you have people who will help you to carry your burdens? Not only that, but we see everyone is involved in this community, right? It's all the believers who are together, everything in common, selling their possessions. Once again, they're carrying each other's burdens, gave to everyone in need. Every day they continue to meet together. And so you see this phrase, all together. It's not an exclusive community, but it's an inclusive community. Do we have pockets of cliques? You know, I think one of the most divisive things in trying to unite a community together is cliques. Because it's people who are being exclusive, who are isolating themselves from the rest of the community. Or do we have the mind of Christ that we're able to say, you know what, I want to include everyone together. That it's not about just people that have common interests, but it's also about reaching out to people who might be so different from me. And lastly, the last thing that we see here is that they actually have fun together. Can you have fun together, right? I mean, this is a serious question, I think, for our church. Do you actually have fun with people in your class? It's not just about, all right, we're going to go to prayer gathering, yay. But you guys actually hang out. You guys are investing into the relationships that you guys can have fun together. Do you even know what it means to have fun together, to hang out, play games, watch movies, joke around? It's about enjoying one another. It's about praising God. How do you praise God when your hearts are filled with gladness? And of course, I understand, right, that there are going to be people in our church that you're going to have absolutely no connections with whatsoever. I mean, that's a given. But when you think about biblical friendship, what it entails is that you actually have to make an effort. That's the key. You actually have to make an effort to build friendships. So you have to intentionally seek out people, and you have to be willing to absorb their need. And it takes a lot of work. And the reason why we don't see these deep friendships coming together is because we're not willing to work at it. We think somehow that it's a process where it just magically happens. If God brings us together, then so be it. If it doesn't, then it doesn't happen. No, you have to be intentional. It takes work. It means actually that we need to model the life of Jesus, that you need to deny yourself, and that you need to enter into that person's life, that you actually have to be transcultural. And not just talk about it, but actually take actions towards it. When you think about it, common interest will only get you so far, right? Because maybe if you don't have any interest, it's like starting at the zero yard line. Maybe if you have some common interest, then maybe it's like 10. I mean, if you guys really get along, then maybe you're like 50 yards. But whether you're starting at 0 yards or 50 yards, compare that to 1,000,000 yards, it doesn't really matter where you start. Because we're called to walk together, to journey together. And so when you think about it, not only do we have to make an effort, but friendship isn't cheap. Because it's going to cost you dearly. I guarantee you, if you are serious about building this biblical friendship, it's going to cost you dearly. Because that means we need to invest into each other's lives. That means at times we're going to be misunderstood. That means at times you're not necessarily going to feel like you're being cared for. But that's the cost that you're willing to pay. Biblical friendship is about going to where the people are and entering into their lives so that you are absorbing their needs. And the last thing is partnership invites others to experience God's love. Biblical partnership invites others to experience God's love. And we want to close with this, right? One of the things that we cannot avoid in this passage is that as they begin to meet together, it's not a community that existed for themselves. I think you guys can see this, that it's not a community that existed for themselves, but it's a community that existed for who? For God. And because they existed for the purposes of God, we see that God added to their numbers daily. It's God who added to their numbers. It's not a community that was so fixated on, okay, we need to grow, we need to add numbers to our community. But it's no, we need to love God and we need to love one another. And as they begin to live out these truths, it was God who added to their numbers daily. And so when you think about it, if you really are able to model this biblical partnership, that if you're able to encourage one another to grow, that if you're constantly studying the Word of God together, that if you're challenging one another to grow in holiness, to go deeper in our relationship with God, not just by doing things together, but being Christ-like to one another. And if we're really serious about the Great Commission of going and making disciples, then why would our community not grow? I think it's a no-brainer. We don't even need to try. And I think it's really interesting that one of the things that Luke does not write about this community, what he doesn't say is that, and they begin to reach out to other people. I'm sure they did. But as they begin to live out the biblical truths, we see that it was God who was adding to their numbers. I think one of the natural fruits of biblical friendships is others coming to know Christ. So let me ask us, just think about all the friends that you have in this church, in our church. Some of you are like, yeah, I have this many friends. Others are like, I have one friend. The fruit that you see in that relationship that you have with that friend,
are people coming to know Christ because of your biblical friendship. I want to close with this video. It's a partnership fail. All right. So watch. Let's. When I first saw that video, I was like, "Oh my goodness!" Did you see the look on that girl? I mean, she looked so trusting, and she's just like, she didn't even hesitate. She fell first. Oh man! And I was thinking, do I really want to use this video and end on a note like this? It's so funny. Oh, but I'm just wondering, when God sees our community, that's what He sees. Because we have all the forms, right? We know what to do. Someone's gonna fall and someone's gonna catch. We have the forms, but we don't understand the why. And so we have different expectations. Some people are thinking, okay, I'm going to fall forward, but then other people are thinking they're going to fall backwards and I'm going to catch them. And then so we fall forward. And we're thinking, what happened? And God is laughing at us the whole time. Not like laughing at us, but as a father who loves his children, he's laughing with us. You know, I think we've grown as a church and we're understanding the hows. But the more important question for me is, do you understand the why? Do you understand the why? Because you need to understand that in order for us to become this radical community, that it's not just about coming and enjoying ourselves on Sundays. It's not just about having these great missions experiences during spring break. But it's about understanding these three things. First of all, just to recap everything, do we have a common vision of Christ and His calling? Do you understand that in our church that there is this vision of Christ that is drawing us together? And because we see the vision of Christ, that there is this common calling. Are we anchored through our intimacy or friendship? Can we go beyond that superficial level? Even though we understand, yes, it's going to be costly, but we're willing to pay that cost because Jesus paid that cost for us. And are we experiencing the fruits of salvation? Because unless we see these three components, then we're a community fail. That we know the hows, but we're not achieving our objective of loving God and loving others and being a witness. Let's close together.